Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. Happy Sabbath. On this special day, the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. Before I get started, I just wanted to mention that we live in an unincorporated King County, so if there is some fireworks in the background, I apologize for that ahead of time because that might happen. But it's just very, very special day. My family, again, we miss you all. We'd like to give you a little hug, get a hug back from you soon. On this special day, thanking of all of you particularly. About 9 years ago on Facebook, I just found this morning, and that is our founding fathers, I wrote this, our founding fathers delivered us from tyranny, sacrificing their lives to that noble cause. Our loving father has delivered us from, well, us, sacrificing his son for his noble cause, free to be bond slaves into his kingdom. We understand that as believers. But on this day, and particularly during the times that we're going through, I think it's time to just reflect back a little bit on how what we believe and what has been done for us personally matches what was done for this country. George Washington, who in my view is the greatest president we ever had, read this on his inauguration day. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which we have advanced the character of independent nations seems to have been distinguished from some token of providential agency. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules and order and right which heaven itself has ordained. Washington got it. He got it, and he was very humble about how he proclaimed that this country was absolutely delivered from tyranny into a new hope and a new idea. And he wasn't completely confident that it was going to work. He was an incredibly humble person. He could barely be heard when he said it. But thankfully, these words were recorded down, and he understood that this was a divine intervention in the lives of men and the greatest idea in the history of government and of self-governing. You know, Washington was almost considered a god at the time. Some of them wanted to make him king, and yet he was just this humble. And so he understood that we were delivered, and we need to understand that we are delivered. And could you say something like that about your deliverance and your call about God in your life? Right now, the world does need a deliverer, doesn't it? From this disease, from the uprisings, from the difficulties, from the systematic rejection of God's will in our lives, we absolutely need a deliverer. You know, we know our God as a number of different things, as our creator, provider, our protector, our life sustainer, a covenant keeper, a promise keeper. He is our rock. But my point today is God wants to be known as our deliverer, your deliverer. He says it over and over and over, and it is essential that we know God as our deliverer. I don't want to be trite, but if you were to meet God at a party, he would probably introduce himself somewhat like this. Hi, I'm God. I'm your deliverer. It's very important that he's understood in this regard. And I will show you some scriptures that actually reflect that. Over 100 times within the Old Testament, he states himself as the one who brought us up, the one who saved us, the one who delivered us. He does it during transitions. He does it during a change of leadership. He does it during when people slip back, they sin, and they go wayward. He continually is reminding us and wants us to know right at the very top that he is a God that is a delivering God. Very, very important, and particularly during the times and uneasiness that we're going through. So I want to talk to you about God as our deliverer. Over and over, he states this. Let's go ahead and go to the Bible, the Word of God, in Deuteronomy 5. Why not? Go right to the commandments. The reason I got on this theme, during Passover, I just kept reading throughout the Bible. I started in Exodus and kept reading and over and over and over. It hit me. God wants us to know who he is and what he's done in our life. Deuteronomy 5 verse 6 says, very first commandment, I am Adonai, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Hi, I'm God. I'm your deliverer, right? God always tells us who we are when we're in what state we're in. In other words, he comes to us and said, you know, here's who you were, where you were in sin, you were in Egypt, but here's who I am. I'm delivering you, or I have delivered you. Therefore, you shall have no other gods in front of you or worship any other gods. And you could take that statement and place it in front of every commandment. I am the God who's delivered you. you should keep the Sabbath. I am the God who delivered you. You should not steal. I'm the God that delivered you. You should not covet. He is introducing himself in a way as a deliverer so that your conduct will reflect that deliverance, so to speak. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, those romantic words again. For you, you are a people set apart, holy for Adonai your God. Adonai your God has chosen you of all the peoples on the face of the earth. He didn't set his heart on you because you were numbered more than other people. On the contrary, you were the fewest people. Rather, it was because Adonai loved you. And how great is that, right? He decided to love us, and so he did what he did. And because he brought us to keep an oath that he had sworn to our ancestors, that Adonai brought you out with a strong hand and redeemed you from the life of slavery. Here he goes again. He's making it super clear who you were before you had an association, who Israel was in this case, and how he did this. A strong hand from out from under slavery. Deuteronomy 7, verse 17. If you think to yourselves that these nations outnumber us, how we might dispossess them, nevertheless, you are not to be afraid. You are to remember well that what Adonai did to Pharaoh and all of Egypt. Remember well, I put that in quotations because all too often you, in your course of your Christian life, you may forget what happened to you in your past. To remember well and to teach your children your story in regards to what your story was and how God pulled you out of wherever you were. Remember well what he has done for you. He has delivered you. That's the start of the relationship, isn't it? So Adonai brought you out. He has brought you out. Verse 19, Adonai will do the same to all the peoples who you are afraid. He will take care of those. Moreover, Adonai, your God, will send the hornet among them and all those who are left and those that hide themselves. They'll perish ahead of you. And he's talking about now Israel moving ahead and delivering, moving those people out and moving Israel in. You are not to be frightened because Adonai, your God, is with you. And he is a great and fearsome God. Remember well, remember his deliverance. Remember how strong he is in your life personally. I know this is an example of Israel, but this was what all of us to some degree or another has experienced. So God is our deliverer. And all these things were done for our example. Remember well, think in terms of where you were in your call and how things went for you. So do you know God as your deliverer? Do you know him complete as your complete deliverer? You know, all too often we make the mistake of our own deliverance. We make the mistake of thinking in terms of, well, I did this good deed today, or I was able to get my Bible study in, or whatever program that we might be on, but we think in terms of, you know, how we may have delivered ourselves. And that's a trap. We have to remember that God is our deliverer. Just for the sake of time, the book of Joshua, the very end of Joshua, Joshua's going to die, and here come the bad and good judges and all of that. And God says, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. He's saying it again. He's reminding Israel again who he is as a deliverer. Very, very, very important. I'll skip down to God wants to, in every part of our life, there's a new start, there's a new day, there's a new mindset. And if we start with the mindset that he is our deliverer, we can be more effective people. And one of the things about the Israelites is he proved that the Egyptian gods weren't the deliverer, that the stuff that's out in the world is not going to deliver us. It is God, it is Jesus Christ who will deliver us. And that's super important. He's trying to remind us who he is all of the time. But one of the simplest things we have to do is remember. Now, I do understand that this experience of deliverance is different for our children. I know that it's different for the kids that have grown up in the church. But, you know, God's no different with them. They are inherent sinners. As much as we may not like to say that, they're inherent sinners. And they're going to have to go through a certain process of understanding that they are sinners and that the only way that they're going to be able to be delivered is through God and through Jesus Christ. No kind of disciplines, that kind of thing. It is going to be God that enters their life or is entering their life, and they've chosen that. They may not have the same experience that you and I have had, but they are truly being delivered. And you just have to crack open the door of the world and take a look out there right now and how nuts it is. And if our kids are with us and they're in our community, they are delivered. I mean, they're being at least protected but each one of us have an individual lesson and an individual story about our deliverance, and we know God as our deliverer. You two have been brought out. The kids, the second and third generations, it's a different situation, right? Adopted, set aside, sanctified, but still delivered. Still delivered into the truth of God, into the kingdom of God. Very, very important. I want to read Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, because there's an important point here that I want to get to. You used to be dead in your sins and acts of disobedience. See how God states again where the state we're in, and then he's here to rescue us. You walked in the ways of the world. You obeyed the ruler of the powers of the air, who is still at work among the disobedient. Indeed, you all once lived this way. We followed the passions of our old nature and obeyed the wishes of our old nature and our old thoughts, and in our natural condition, we were headed for God's wrath, just like everyone else. But here we go. God is so rich in his mercy and loves us with such an intense love that even when we were dead because of our acts of disobedience, he brought us to life, delivered us with Messiah in the grace that you have been delivered. That is, God raised us up with the Messiah and seated us with him in heaven. So important. You know, it says that he delivers us not to just a state to fight. He delivers us to heaven. That's a very interesting concept because we've been delivered to something. God isn't, you know, he doesn't just pull you out of the world, drop you off the bus stop and fend for yourself. He's a complete deliverer. That's what this is saying. He said he seated us in heaven by his deliverance. Very, very important part. And he's done this according to his grace and not by our own efforts. That's what Ephesians 2 and verse 9 says. So people who know that they've been delivered from something act differently. That's why God is trying to tell us, and that's why God wants us to know that he alone is our deliverer, that we are not, there's nothing we can do to deliver ourselves. And on this day, the 4th of July, it's very important to understand that our country was delivered by God and that us personally are delivered by God. 1 Peter basically says the same thing. It says in regards that through trusting, we were protected by God's power and we were delivered by his power. So brethren, on this day, the 4th of July, as we, you know, we'll hear the fireworks, and hopefully with every firework, we'll be reminded, with every pop, with every beautiful thing that we'll see, we'll be reminded that God is our deliverer and that we will personally be able to declare his deliverance. So could I ask you this question? Do you know with absolute surety that you were delivered or that you are delivered by the divine hand of God? Do you know God personally as your deliverer? Do you, and will you be able to declare his deliverance on a daily basis through your actions and through your words and maybe share your deliverance? God wants us to know him as a deliverer, and he says it over and over and over at the beginning of the relationship. Hi, I'm God. I'm your deliverer. Pretty important. He really wants us to know him that way. So in conclusion, I wanted to just simply read that snippet from Washington. I changed the words for us personally. I changed it a little bit. So it'll read the way that we can apply to ourselves, our own hearts, our own minds, our own God's will in our life, as God is our deliverer. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the believers in Messiah. Every step by which we had advanced in the character of a called people seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a church that disregards the eternal rules of order and the right which heaven itself has ordained. Washington got it. We get it. We're delivered people. God wants us to know as delivered people. So happy Sabbath to you and happy 4th of July.